The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just a wedding planner, tearing it up. Listen, learn,
plan that wedding.
A show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I am Dixie Bagley.
Say it with more oomph than that.
Hello, hello. I am Dixie Bagley with The Farm.
The Farm
in Rome, Georgia.
Yes, The Farm in Rome, Georgia. Of which I have yet to visit, but I will get there. Dixie, thanks for co-hosting this month's Yawa.
I'm glad to be here. I always enjoy listening to you, and you always make me grin from ear to ear when you do your intro.
Well, there you go. You got it in real time with no music behind it. So it's weird, right?
No, it's all good.
So Dixie, for you listening, has been on the podcast two times before this. Dixie was on episode number 182, and that was called Venue Owner Tells All. And that was back, God, it felt like it was longer. How was it really February 12th of 2020? It was like literally before, like right before the shit hit the fan. Uh-huh.
It was.
Oh my God. We were all so ignorant then in February of 2020, Dixie.
We had no idea.
And I remember very distinctly talking to you because I was living in the Bay Area in Belmont. And I remember sitting at my living room table and you, me, and Christy talking. And it was a fun episode. And we had so much fun with you. So that was a good episode. And then you came back on episode number 201, which was titled Five Venues Across the Country as We Reopen. And that was in June of 20. So interesting because that was such a weird time where literally we were getting ready to like actually go outside of our homes and like, you know, see what the world was looking like and go into store. Like we weren't doing anything back then, especially me where I was living in the Bay Area. I mean, Starbucks was closed. The friggin' grocery store was like, there was a limited number of people could go in. I was wearing gloves and, you know, I was disinfecting my food before I brought it into my like packaging of the stuff I would buy at Costco. Mm-hmm. And you were on that episode, and that was a really popular episode. We got a lot of downloads on that, and we had a lot of comments on that. So where are things with you now at the farm?
We are just busy as ever. I mean, of course, ever since COVID, the little weddings took off, all of our small weddings, which I already had those in place. Fortunately, when that happened. So that's become a thing now. I mean, in October of last year, I did 20 in one weekend. So
20 of these little mini weddings, little elopements.
Uh-huh. Little elopements in one weekend, hour and a half slots, miniature weddings. Loved it, loved every second of it. But we're still doing our big weddings. We're not having as many people. You know, we always had an all weekend package, like a luxury, you know, get all the cottages, spend the weekend here, have a vacation. That used to primarily be our most booked package. And so now I'm not seeing as many people booking those big packages as I am people coming through and going, I want to have a 4-hour wedding or a 1-hour wedding, or can you come to my house and just sign my marriage certificate, which I do. So a lot of that, and I don't mind it. I mean, it's, you know, it was kind of like a good change because I do tend to get bored doing the same thing over and over again. So it kind of came at a good time for me too, to kind of refresh what I was doing and rejuvenate my interest, so to speak.
Yeah. And you have a beautiful venue with so much space and opportunities for, you know, like you have the barn, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And open space. And what else is over there?
Well, we're 300 acres, so we've got the barn. It was built to host the equestrian team for the Olympics in Atlanta, and it never, that didn't happen. So it's a European style barn. It's not your standard metal building or your grandpa's barn. It's very intricate, brick arches, chandeliers, very elegant, if you will. And then the loft area is a ballroom that can seat 200 people. You know, and obviously our outside space, the sky's the limit. The biggest event I've ever done is 500. I've done that probably about two or three times. And I'm happy to not go above that.
Yeah. And there's sleeping rooms on the property.
Seven cottages. So with little kitchens, I mean, you could live in them forever or just come stay the weekend.
Okay. I'm coming. All right. That's come so on, cool. Girl. I'm coming. All right. Well, Dixie is you're a listener of the podcast. So, you know, Yawas, you know how we do it. And, I want to start off by, reading reviews. Mm-hmm. We have a few here to read, and you have it on your end too.
I do.
Why don't you go ahead and read this first one from January 8th?
Okay. Informative, humorous, and relatable. The Big Wedding Planning Podcast is one of the few outlets that provides an unfiltered modern take on celebrations, how to make it your own, finding the support in the vendor team to do so. As a DJ working in the wedding scene in New York City, I strive to always be learning and align myself with progressive and inclusive mindset and away from the old school trappings of what your celebration should look like because of tradition. In getting to know new couples, I like to drop the podcast name to check their awareness. And if they aren't in the know, offer it as an educational and entertainment resource. Looking forward to what the new year has in store. Thank you for always providing useful output. Empanada man.
I like that handle. Thank you. I see. And that's the thing. I know a lot of wedding professionals do listen, which is awesome. Which you, Dixie, I mean, that you, mm-hmm. you first got in touch with us because you were listening. You own a venue and you're a wedding planner. Yes. And so thank you to this person who is a DJ in New York recommending our little pod.
Yeah. Hey, Mr. DJ.
Hey, Mr. DJ. Okay. All right. I'll read the next one. Truly the best wedding planning podcast. I got engaged in May of 2021 and started listening a month later and quickly realized I had no clue what I was getting myself into. Honestly, I wish I started listening years prior to getting engaged. A lot of people do that, by the way. I researched dozens of wedding planning podcasts, but TBWPP is the best one. So many helpful tips and tricks I never would have found by Googling. I started listening from the beginning, and now I'm kind of jumping around. The Yawas are my favorite because you get to hear questions you may not have ever thought about. My wedding is officially scheduled for August 2023. So now that I'm getting down to planning specific aspects, I can finally go back and listen to the respective podcast episodes and feel so much more confident when planning. Seriously, just start listening. You won't regret it. Nice. Oh, that's so great. And I love what I hear about a 23 wedding because you got some time. You got this. I'm excited for you. Thank you for that. Gianna Caicedo?
Mm-hmm. Go for that.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
Okay, you read this last one.
Okay. A must listen. I've been listening to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast since I got engaged back in April 2021. And it has been a godsend. My fiance and I love listening with each other. With each new episode, it never ceases to spark new conversation about how we can make our wedding more us and fun. Thank you for the show. It helps make this progress so much more enjoyable and way less overwhelming. Nikki B337.
Yay. Thank you, Nikki. I'm glad you and your fiance listened together. That's awesome.
That's sweet.
Yeah, it is sweet. It's cute. It's super cute. And then we have one more thing. We have a voicemail from a listener. She couldn't leave us a review, so she left us a voicemail. And I love this. Listen to this voicemail.
Hello, my name is Nevada, and I have been binging your podcast since like Thanksgiving of this year when I found it in planning my wedding. My wedding is May 20th, 2023, so I've got lots of time to go, but I'm already on episode 100 in like 3 months. Which isn't that bad. I haven't binged that hard. Maybe a little. Whatever. Anyway, I'm listening to your 100th episode, and I'm actually calling from my car phone, so I'm sorry if you can't hear me, but I got really excited because you guys were just talking about the phone number, and you really wanted someone to call, and I'm sure you've gotten plenty of calls since you posted that 100th, but I don't have iTunes, and I wanted to leave you a little bit of a review and let you guys know that you have helped me so much these last few months. Like, I've been able to make decisions on vendors and actually make a guest list that we have been putting off for months. So I'm really, really thankful for you guys, and you are amazing. And I'm really excited to listen to the next interview with your therapist friend. I'm blanking on her name right now, but I am a polyam person who is getting married, and this is a very interesting terrain to navigate as a poly person. So I really wanted to thank you specifically for having her on, and you guys are just awesome, and now I'm rambling, and I'm going to stop now. So I hope you enjoyed my message, and have a wonderful day. Love you, love your show. Bye!
Oh my God, that was so cute!
It was. That was very cute.
Oh, Nevada, you're very sweet. Thank you for that message. I love that. And, you know, she's actually sent a couple questions, and that's funny. She left that message last month. So, and she had only gotten to episode 100. This episode that we're recording right now is going to be number 291. So
nice.
Nevada, you've got a long way to go, girl, but I'm so excited that you're listening. And I love that you left us that message. Thank you so, so much for that. All right. So I encourage people to call and leave a voicemail with questions or comments. I freaking love hearing your voices. 415-723-1625. It's so, so, so lovely. Thank you so much. Dixie, we got to get into these questions. Let's do Yawa.
Let's do it.
Yawa. All right. Question number one. Hi, I have a quick question to see if you have any ideas. My tentative wedding date is the day before my parents' 40th wedding anniversary. I want to do something to honor them, but not sure what would be best. Do you have any ideas or suggestions? I've been listening to the podcast before I was engaged, and as of this weekend, I am officially engaged. Woo, woo!
Nice.
What have you seen people do, Dixie, when the wedding coincides with an anniversary of like the parents or grandparents maybe?
Yeah, we've had people do slideshows, like a little surprise slideshow, which is always so sweet and romantic because there's just something really nice about seeing the longevity of these weddings and photos, and it's sentimental. So people always really enjoy that. And we've also had people bring in, you know, a little specialty cake or that may be their favorite, and obviously the dances. So, but the slideshow is probably the most popular on our end. What about you?
Wait a minute. What dances? I'm curious.
Oh, like the, you know, anniversary dance, and then they surprise them and they're like, this is actually for you.
Oh, like the bouquet or something. Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes they'll have a special dance incorporated. So with their first dance, you know, and then their father, daughter dance, mother, son, and then they'll have a dance for for that couple that is their anniversary.
Oh, that's really cute. Okay. Okay. I wrote to this listener, that my favorite is the cake. I like the cakes. Mm. You know, I do a lot of weddings in the Bay Area, and people aren't really huge on like these big family dances here. I know they've done it sometimes, but I've had two ways of doing this. One is we just order a small cake for whoever's anniversary it is. And we did one where it was the bride's grandparents' anniversary. And it was just beautiful and special. And it was a super surprise. The grandparents did not know that we were doing this. And so when it was time for the couple to cut their cake, you know, the DJ announced and everything, I'm going to cut the cake. Before they cut into the cake, they grabbed the microphone and said, just hang on just a minute. We want to say something. Today is my grandparents, you know, 40th wedding anniversary. And, you know, we're so, so happy. And da da da. So grandma, and then I brought out a cake and the grandparents were like, oh my God, you know, they were all excited. And I love that. And then I've also had someone actually, they have their big wedding cake that they ordered and it's really pretty and it's a centerpiece. It's a staple. It is a design element of the wedding. And when it's time to cut the cake, the couple actually also get on the microphone, ask the parents to come up and say, this is actually your cake. We want you to have your cake cutting moment again, this many years later. The parents cut the cake and then, you know, all four of them take a photo together and the couple really just forgoes that cake, but they all still like grab a piece and they all eat together. And so it's this beautiful memory, unique memory to them, you know? And I love that. I love that, but I love when it's a surprise. I do really love that slideshow idea though. People love a good slideshow.
Yeah. Oh, they do. Especially it just seems like the older couples, you know, those black and white photos or just older 70s photos and stuff like that. People really get in with that and it just touches them, you know? So there's something really sweet about that, I think.
Yeah. I always tell my clients, like, bring as many freaking vintage wedding photos of your family as you can find. Mm-hmm. Just from all over. I had a couple that they were a Jewish family and, you know, it was just huge to have this wedding because a lot of their family members were affected by the Holocaust. And so to bring in photos, you know, I don't know, it was even more like deep and touching to see these people and, you know, what their wedding photos looked like or, you know, I just love having, you can't have too many framed family wedding photos at your wedding. You just can't.
No, I love seeing wedding photos. I think it would be really fun to have like almost all your special people at your wedding, bring a wedding photo and have it displayed. I think that would be so cool.
Oh my God. Yes. Isn't there like a game or something, like a wedding shower game or something where people bring their wedding photos and you have to like guess who it is or something?
I don't know. That sounds fun.
I know. I gotta do a wedding shower episode. Okay. So these are quick rapid fire, like quick little questions, but I thought this was an interesting one. And Dixie, with you having people stay on your property, you might have helped. This person posted, what's the best way to help my anxiety on my wedding weekend? Now, there was no elaborating here. Yeah. Okay. So I'm just going to go with general anxiety. I'm not going to read anything into this, but
yeah, that's wide open. well, I'm not an anxiety person, but I can tell you, I did have anxiety the day that I married Lee to the point that we were supposed to get married outside. It rained and we had to go inside and I'm not shy, as you know. I got freaked out and I said, I'm not walking down that aisle. I'm not doing that. We can go eat Mexican. I'm cool. We can keep dating. I was tripping out. I don't know, but I was like, I can't do this. I can't. I just looked at Lee and I was like, I love you, but I can't walk down that aisle. And I had major, for the first and probably the only time, major anxiety about that. And he looked at me, he's like, you're going to get your ass down that aisle. Get married. And it was so funny, but like, but him being there with me really calmed my anxiety. And I see people now who get married, who they don't see each other prior to. And sometimes that really creates a lot of anxiety because that's your person. Lee was my person. So to have him there and talk some sense into me and bring me back to, you know, the ground was so much better. So sometimes I think it's as simple as just, you know, don't forgo all these traditions of not seeing each other. Let some of that go and do what you feel is right for you that day instead of doing what everyone else wants, because it's a weird day. If you think about it, we're asking people to one, not see the person who they've probably been living with and seeing every day. And this is a big day and they're not seeing each other for 24 hours. And they're having all this pressure to do things that they wouldn't normally do. So sometimes I think you just have to go back to your norm and do what makes you feel comfortable, so you don't have all of that anxiety. And sometimes you have to get out and get away from your wedding party because they can be the worst. And I've had to take more than one bride and groom for a walk around the property to just breathe and calm down and, you know, get away from it all.
God, the wedding party for sure.
They drive you to drink. Literally. They have drinks and they want you to drink and they make you want to drink.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree. I second the, see your partner before the ceremony, mm-hmm. wholeheartedly. And I've seen it so many times with my clients, like you're each other, like you said, that's your person.
Yeah.
You know how to call me. My husband still knows how to this day, you know, he'll mm-hmm. see me and be like, come on, let's go for a walk. You know, yeah. You just know how to do it. The other thing I was going to mention is to whoever this person is that asked this question and to those listening, like, you know yourself very well. Are you going to get more anxious waiting around with nothing to do? Or are you going to get more anxious if your schedule is jam-packed with like hair and makeup and, you know, this and that and everything else, like really packed, right? So as an example, if you have a big wedding party and your ceremony starts maybe earlier in the day, like, you know, 12 or 2, even 3 o'clock, you know, and you've got your lunch scheduled, you've got your photo shoot scheduled, you've got your breakfast scheduled, you've got your hair and makeup starting super early in the morning, you know, is that going to make you more anxious because there's too much going on? Or are you on the flip side? Are you the other personality type to where if there's nothing to do, does that stress you out and make you anxious? And yes. I would say, like, try to plan your, you know, pre-ceremony time, those hours from the time you wake up till the time is, start to go time, plan it knowing who you are and how you react to certain things, certain moments.
Yes. I think kind of deviating too far from your norm can cause a lot of anxiety, especially on that day. So if you're a really chill person, like if on your best day you had money, if you were like, I'm going to go to the spa and I'm going to day drink with my girls and I'm not going to see my husband or boyfriend all day long. If that's you, then you're probably going to be comfortable doing that day. But if that's not you, like, that's not something I would do luxury, you know, for myself. So that would probably make me uncomfortable on the day of. So
yes.
I think sticking to your guns of what you normally would do within reason definitely helps too.
Oh yeah. I totally agree. I wonder what I was just thinking. Okay. What would I do? Like if it was right now, you know, my age, Jose Luis and I were going to have our day, what would I want to do? And I think I would want to like not have my day too jam packed. I wouldn't want nothing to do, but I wouldn't want to have to like get up super early in the morning and get my hair and makeup done right away. I would like to be able to like wake up. I won't wake up late anyway, but then like right. maybe just like go out and have a really awesome breakfast with like a whole bunch of friends or with Jose Luis. And then mm-hmm. maybe then, you know, like take a nice long shower and get in my robe and then have hair and makeup come and chill. And then us see each other or go for a walk or maybe even go for a walk before it's time to get hair and makeup done. Like just kind of have a few activities that I have to attend to, but nothing jam packed. I hate jam packed. I hate Same. It. It stresses me out.
Same.
Okay. All right. Also a little marijuana won't hurt either. If that's your deal, you know,
those gummies are great.
The gummies are great. You know, don't mix it with alcohol.
No,
or at least no more than one glass of champagne, because then you're going to be over too much.
Yes.
But I mean, a nice, you know, sativa gummy, maybe half, be good for you.
When I think of the best weddings I've planned, it's been the ones where the couples are truly having fun with the planning and really taking in all of the moments on the wedding day. Like Charlie and Rick, who themed their wedding after their favorite things to do together, which are playing classic video games. The tables were named after their favorite characters, and their cake topper was an edible Princess Peach and sleepy Snorlax. Whatever kind of wedding you want, there's one place to start. Zola. Zola has everything you need all in one place. They've thought of everything, venues, invites, registry, and more. And they'll be with you every step of your wedding planning journey. Zola has everything you need all in one place. You can find venues, local caterers, florists, and photographers. They have awesome save the dates and matching invites that you can customize that go with your style and theme. Wedding websites are an absolute must. You've got to have one central location where all of your guests can go to get all the details of the weekend. And Zola has so many well-designed and easy-to-use templates for free. Oh, and the best part, your wedding registry. Whatever you want, whatever your interests, they've got you covered. Not only all the major brands, but experiences, cash funds, honeymoons, and one of the coolest parts, I think, about the registry is that you, as the couple, can use the gift tracker feature, which allows you to delay when gifts arrive to you. Perhaps you're moving to a new home. Or you can exchange gifts before they even ship to you and swap it for a different color, size, or something else entirely. Whatever your style or budget, Zola has thought of everything. Start planning the wedding you want at zola.com/bigwedding. That's zola.com/bigwedding. Thank you, Zola.
Okay. Does it look bad to only provide transportation for the wedding party and not all guests? That's kind of a hard question to answer because I don't know. I mean, with you, Dixie, everything happens at your venue, right? Ceremony.
Sometimes I would say probably about 50% of the time they do stay here. 50% of the time, depending on how many guests they have traveling in town, it's easier for them to stay in town at the hotel with their guest, you know, okay. Especially if they want an after party. And I have to say, sometimes it's safe. It's the safest option to give the wedding party transportation because they have almost most likely been drinking from the moment they got here.
Yeah.
So it's not uncommon for them. Let me retract. If I have people who get transportation, they typically have it for the day. But we'll bring the wedding party out here first. And then we'll go back and get the rest of the people. But we've had plenty of weddings where they just get a van and bring the wedding party out here and the guests are on their own. So I think,
yeah.
I don't think your guests know that, you know, they don't know that. So they're not going, how dare she? She is so tacky. Can you believe that she did not give us a ride?
Yeah.
You don't know that.
Totally.
So I think you overthink sometimes what your guests know and don't know, and you don't need to worry about that. And it's none of their business.
Yeah, I agree. Because, you know, some of you may know this, but many years ago, my dad owned a limo service and I would help, you know, on the phones. And it happened all the time. A couple of limos would be rented just for the wedding party, the parents, and the couple. And mm-hmm. That was nothing out of the norm, you know, nothing out of the ordinary. And like you say, Dixie, they're not even going to notice it. If it's not an option for the guests, it's just not an option.
Yeah.
I think if you're at a venue where it is a huge destination wedding and the venue's super far from hotels, and or it's like a super windy road, then, you know, it is important to offer guest transportation, especially if like you can't get a Lyft or an Uber right out in that spot. But I think if you're just like in a normal area where people have the option of, you know, driving or Lyft or Uber, and you're just doing the transport for the wedding party, it's totally fine.
Agreed.
Okay. Very good. Okay. Another one. This is funny how they have, when you put a sticker on Instagram for people to ask you questions, they have to limit how many words they could type in there, which I feel bad about. I feel like Instagram needs to like make that, allow that to be bigger.
Yeah, agree.
But the question, it says, do all the eating first, then move to dancing? Seems disjointed otherwise.
Yeah, it does. I think so too. I mean, I don't know. It depends on the wedding and I guess the activities. You know, I've only had one wedding where people danced first and then ate. And that was because the bride wasn't quite ready for a couple of hours. Wait.
Expand on this story.
She had a little anxiety. So think sweet. What is that? Pretty in Pink.
Yeah.
Where her sister, she had one of those situations. She had a little anxiety.
16 candles. That was 16 candles.
Yes. She had a little anxiety and she just enjoyed a little too much of whatever the pill was that she took to calm her down. And so she went through the giggles and then she went to sleep. And so she was on property. So we knew she was here. She was fine, but she was 3 hours late. So at that point I was like, we're having a party. We're going to start the dancing and do all the stuff and eat and do the things. And when she shows up, we'll stop and they'll get married.
Wait. Oh my God. This is such a good story, Dixie.
Yeah.
I have not had this ever happen.
Oh, everybody, there was some sweating going on. He was sweating. Her parents were sweating.
Was there any crying? Were people very upset? No,
the guest, you know, there were questions and I just said, she's not quite ready, but she's fine. And she is coming, but she's just not ready. And
so did you just like open up the bar and tell the DJ to start playing?
I did. Mm-hmm.
So where the ceremony was taking, I'm so curious about this. Okay. Was the ceremony, were people already seated for the ceremony?
No. So whenever she was ready, we have walkie talkies here. So whenever she was ready, she radioed me, you know, I'd been checking in on her periodically. Once she woke up and I just said, whenever you're ready, you let me know and we'll come get you up there. So when she radioed me to let me know she was ready, we had my assistant get everybody seated and let them know that she was coming. We're doing this.
Well, I guess my question is when you first found, like, let's say this, what time, if the ceremony was supposed to start at 4 o'clock or whatever.
Yeah.
And guests were arriving and guests were being seated for the ceremony. And at 4 o'clock is when you realized we're not going to have the ceremony right now. Is that how it went down?
No. So most of the time guests mingle. For us, we're such a big property that people kind of mingle around. We often have drinks ahead of time, you know? Yeah. So for people just as they're coming in, so they were not seated. And so it wasn't a big deal, but I think, I mean, you could do it that way. You could have a little pre-cocktail party and then be like, hey, I need y'all to sit down. We're going to get married. I don't think there's, you know, going back to all these traditional rules, I don't think there's any reason to think you have to stick to that flow. So it can be done. People will sit down and will do all the things when you tell them to do it. So.
Okay. And just one last question about this, because I'm so freaking curious. How long was she out?
She was 3 hours late. I think totally out. She was probably out about 6 hours.
Oh my God.
She got up that morning. She had anxiety. She went to urgent care. And I guess got a prescription, you know, because she wasn't from here, and then came back home and took her anti-anxiety pills and, you know, giggled and drank a little bit of champagne and started getting her hair done. Then she went to sleep. She said bucket. She put it in the bucket till she was ready.
She put it in the bucket bucket. Absolutely. Yeah. That's awesome. That is so awesome. I love that. And I love that you're just like, it's okay. You know, let's just let these people party. And when she's ready and she comes out of it,
At that point, as a planner and a venue owner or a vendor, there's not a whole lot you can do. I mean, it's done. Everybody's in place. There's no refunding. You know, everybody's there. So you might as well just go with the flow.
Absolutely. That is what a good story, Dixie. Oh, God, I love it. Okay. So I have seen, I've had a couple of times I've had clients say, you know, I really want to mingle with my guests as they arrive. And I almost kind of want to have a little bit of a cocktail reception before we go into the ceremony. And I think it works. I think it totally, totally works. As long as you're not a traditional couple who, you know, doesn't want anybody to see you until you're walking down the aisle. Yes. I think it's a lovely way to engage with your guests. I think it's a lovely way to kill some of that anxiety and that, you know, kind of stress is when you're like, oh my God, you know, I'm so excited to see you, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I have had that done. And to the point where we had like a full on cocktail reception, prior to the ceremony, like we had past apps, we had drinks. You know what I like about that, Dixie, is, and some people aren't like this, but I'm the kind of person, like if I go out to drinks, once I start eating snackies, you know, like if I'm having cheese and crackers or whatever it is, I'm drinking, like I'm not hungry for dinner. Right. So it's always kind of like, to me, been bass-ackwards that we have this format where we do a ceremony, we have an hour of drinks and appetizers, and then we sit down for this big ass dinner.
Right.
To me, that's always been so odd because who's hungry for dinner?
Well, and also let's be honest, the guests are ready to party.
Yes.
I mean, I love a beautiful plated and served dinner. Don't get me wrong. I love it for a small wedding, not these big weddings. These big weddings, people are like, oh my God, this is dragging on and taking forever. I mean, majority of the guests, you know, that's great that you're providing that, but your guests are just not appreciating it the way you would want them to.
No.
They're ready to have a good time.
100%. 100%. I agree. Oh my God. So good. I love that story. Okay. All right. I'm really curious to see if this is something you have people doing out there.
No.
No, they're not.
You, girl.
This is all. Oh my God. Okay. So I had a feeling, Dixie. I had a feeling.
they hand out things to help, but they don't know. Yeah.
Okay. So this listener, and he's actually interacted with me a couple of times because he's really, you know, they're really kind of stressing out about this. We're wanting to require COVID tests upon guest arrival. In addition to them showing us proof of vaccination, like they want all the guests vaccinated, but in addition, they want these COVID tests because, and I know this now about him, they have, one of them is very high risk. Mm-hmm. And then there's also some, you know, high risk people, you know, attending the wedding and family members. So for them, it's really, really important. So they have over 200 guests.
That's a lot.
It's a lot,
but they are assembly line.
It literally is an assembly line. And I have not, done the COVID testing of the guests as they arrive. I have had to test, vendors,
right,
as they arrive, which you're crossing your damn fingers because you're hoping to God that these people are not positive. Cause then you know, but, I do know from working in San Francisco that, you know, you have to show proof of vaccination before entering inside of any facility. That is the law over there. And so, or a mandate. So for weddings in San Francisco, the same thing has to happen.
Right.
And that creates a bottleneck of people walking into the venue. So what I've told this listener is, and he had a great idea. He's like, can we pass out champagne? And I'm like, yeah,
absolutely. Yeah.
Pass out champagne, give them something to drink and to do, you know, while they're, you know, waiting to have their COVID test taken because it's going to take a while. I mean, plus you've got you have the little packets, you got to like open them up. You have the little friggin' thingy that you got to put the tube on and drip it in the friggin' blah, blah, blah. And so you almost need like tables and people, a ton of people helping to administer these tests.
Yes.
And I know that there's a lot of third party companies that actually do this. You can pay them to come and just like run this whole process for you. Yeah, it's pretty extreme.
Yeah.
Especially for that amount of guests.
And I can't imagine the time that this adds on or takes away from their rental of the venue. And also, you know, the fact that I'm sure their vendors are going to charge them for this time, you know, so that's just, it's a lot. That's a lot to swallow and gather. I mean, to be quite honest, if this were me and I were in that situation, I would probably be like, you know what? It's in our best interest just to have a small intimate wedding. And
I know.
And I'm going to send you all a card that says we got married and we love you.
But, I know. And that's the thing. And that's what I think about. And I've thought about it since, you know, interacting with them on Instagram is like, do we need to rethink the size of this wedding? I mean, if you truly are at risk, you know, people can test negative and still have it and still be, you know, and not know it.
Right.
Especially with Omicron. And I've seen it a lot in these variants. So it is a huge risk. It is a lot of money, not only for all these COVID tests, okay, because they're not cheap, but like you said, you're going to add at least a half hour to an hour, most likely, pre-ceremony to get all these COVID tests done, hire people to help you, have your vendors stay longer. It's a lot.
I'm seeing a great honeymoon for all of this instead. Take all that money and go somewhere fabulous. I can tell you all the great, fabulous places to go. And as I'm sure you can too, Michelle.
Yeah. So if you absolutely feel like this is something you have to do, and we always say it, you do you, you do what what you think is best for you and your partner. I just do caution that, and Dixie, I think you second it, that this is going to be logistically a lot and financially a lot.
Yes.
Okay.
Agreed. Best of luck.
Good luck with it. I really do want to know if they end up doing it and how it goes.
I do too.
All right. Tips for layouts at the venue. I've got a big room, but unsure where to put the dance floor. Do you have a big ballroom, right?
I do.
Okay. So do you have any tips for this listener?
Well, first of all, I'm sure that there's someone at the venue who has an expert opinion on this. And I'm sure that they have a list of DJs who have expert opinions on this. But ideally, you know, if it's a wide open room, being in the center of the room would be best for everybody to enjoy being able to sit at their tables and watch everyone dance. It's kind of hard to really answer that without knowing exactly, you know, the layout of that venue and what flows, you know, with that. I always say keep it, you know, I like to keep tables away from restrooms. So, you know, if you have the dance floor, if there's a restroom area that's not your favorite, you know, location, you can always kind of possibly butt your dance floor close to that so that people walking around that way, you're not having to use that space for tables or kind of in a corner of the room. But again, without knowing the layout, it's hard to say. I would definitely reach out to the venue manager and some of their favorite DJs.
Yeah. Okay. Good idea. And maybe, you know, photographers and what they've seen in the space.
Yeah.
Yeah. I forgot where we were recently. I forgot which guest, everything is mixing into one, but I do recall speaking to, Kayla, our Real Wedding Retrospective that just released. She was saying that she only had half of the amount of guests than what the venue's full capacity is. So if it fit 300, she only had 150 guests. And it felt really, really nice. Because nobody was on top of each other, and seating was easy to do, and dance floor placement was easy to do. But I can see how it could seem overwhelming if the room is way too big. I do feel like the dance floor should be the centerpiece of the room. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just should. And you know, if dinner's taking place in there, awesome. People can sit at their tables and watch the dance floor. That it's hard to know because we don't know the specifics.
Right.
But I do feel dance floor is either right in the center or at the head of the room, close to the band or the DJ.
Yes. And DJs do not like being put in the corner. They do not like that. They want to be able to see everything. So that's even more reason to keep that dance floor as centered as possible.
Yeah. And also I feel like depending on your budget, if you have it in the budget and you're able to bring in some like furniture rental, you know, some couches, some armchairs, coffee tables, area rugs, really cool lighting, plants, you know, open air photo booth. I mean, you can do a lot to fill a room and make it fun and interactive and make it Instagram worthy.
Yes.
So, yeah.
And I want to come and sit on that couch and watch everyone.
Yay. Hey, I do too. I love doing that. Hey, I have one more I'm going to throw in here.
Okay.
I'm going to read it. I'm writing because I'm undergoing another one of those crises. I booked a venue in a forest with a garden ceremony, which was amazing and gorgeous. However, the more I think about it, the more I realize it's not exactly what I want. There's a venue, and by the way, this is in Washington. Mm-hmm. There's a venue in Portland that fits everything I'm not realizing I want, as it's in a cozy greenhouse in the city, but I haven't seen it in person, only over video. I'm nervous that I'm going to keep changing my mind, but I feel strongly that the first venue we paid a $3,000 deposit on is not the one for me. Every time I have to think about making a decision on it or start looking at inspiration, I freeze and realize it's not really right for me. What is the best way to know what I really want? How do I stop myself from losing more money? I also don't want to offend the people who own the venue I already paid a deposit on, but I know they're super popular, so I know they'll have no issue rebooking the date. They've already booked out pretty much every date for 2023, but I do want to ask for a partial refund if they can rebook. It's also hairy, and I feel like I know what I want, but I don't want to keep making the same mistakes and losing a ton of money. Oof.
Girl.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're gosh. A venue owner. Mm-hmm. So can you talk to her fear of A, you know, upsetting the venue owners, and B, asking for a partial refund far out in advance?
Yeah. My first thing I want to say to her, regardless of what happens, is to quit looking. Stop that. That's like looking at wedding dresses after. You can't do that.
Yeah.
It's just going to cause chaos and confusion for you. You know, I think the approach to this is to be really upfront and honest with her, the venue, let them know that she thinks that she may have, you know, been a little hasty in making her decision. I mean, I get that. You know, there's times that moms come here and they want their kids to book this venue, and I know it's not what the kids want. The mom called me and booked this tour, you know? So I think being honest with the venue about where she's at and how she feels is really important in this aspect of dealing with this. Before she talks to them, she needs to read her contract over and over again to make sure she's knows where she stands as far as the money she's paid and her obligation to them financially and legally. And then, you know, if she feels comfortable going to them and being honest with them and, you know, saying, hey, do you think that there's a possibility, you know, that you could rebook this date, ask the venue what their thoughts are on it. Don't make it feel like you're just going there and saying, hey, I don't want to get married at your place. It's not really what I wanted. ask for their input on that and how they suggest, you know, you go forward with that situation. They may say, you're screwed. You committed to us. This is your date. You're going to lose your deposit. Or they may say, I understand, you know, and we want to help you. We want you to be happy. If somebody came to me and they told me that, I would be like, you know, I want you to have the day that you want, where you want it. And I want to work with you. So I'm going to try to rebook this date. And if I can rebook this date at the same amount of money, I'm going to refund you your money. You know, so I think just being really honest in the approach about that is key. Don't be surprised if they say no, and don't be angry if they say no. This is the cost you pay for making your decisions at the end of the day. So, yeah. But you know, I think just being upfront and honest with them, you know, and hoping that they understand and are willing to work with you is something that you got to kind of, you never know till you ask, but be honest.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. It's so funny because I've been hearing so much lately about venues. I've been putting out some videos about like booking a venue before you're really aware of what your budget is and how to be mm-hmm. very careful with that, because that can totally screw you over. It mm-hmm. can, it could just turn your budget upside down, and then you don't have money for, you know, your photographer or whatever it is. So I agree, Dixie. I feel like she, you know, it happens. You get hasty. You make a decision too quickly. You make a mistake. And, mm-hmm. you know, for whatever reason. And so I agree with you 100%. That was the first thing my mind went to. If my client was saying this to me right now, I'd be like, contract, got to read the contract. But I think that what you're explaining here, and the more you think about it, this is not the right venue for you. Can you afford to lose $3,000? I don't know. It's a good chunk of change there. That's some money. And for, you know, I don't know what your overall wedding budget is, but I mean, that has to probably be 50% of the rental, or maybe it's a sliding scale, but everything that Dixie said, read your contract, know what it says. Give them a call. Just let them know. Do you think that they should send it in writing first or follow up in writing?
If this were one of my potential clients, I would like to talk to them and yeah. see, because I mean, you know, there are plenty of times where people, you know, just are like, I just changed my mind, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, yeah. and they're not really as authentic, you know what I mean? So,
right.
So to me, it would make the difference to see and hear how heartfelt you were, and like, yes. see if you're remorseful that you took one of my dates and my time. Because if you're not remorseful that you took my date and my time, and you ultimately really don't care if I booked that, then it's kind of hard for me to turn around and give you that same respect. You know, when, as far as letting you out of your contract and giving you money back, you know, so for me, I definitely think talking to someone and, you know, face-to-face or in a phone call or Zoom or however is going to help to make that connection and relay those feelings, you know, appropriately. And an email can sound really cold.
I agree. I agree too. I was going to say, I think you call first, you know, appeal to them on a human mm-hmm. level, you know, admit you made a mistake. Yeah. As lovely as it was, and you did love it when you went to see it, you realize it's not the right fit for you. And, you know, you understand and blah, blah, blah. But if there's any way, I mean, do you think you'd be able to book it for my date? If so, I mean, it's kind of like when you rent an apartment, you know, and you're like, oh, I got to break my lease now. And you're mm-hmm. very well aware that you could just be totally screwed, or the landlord might say, you know what? If you can find somebody to rent it,
right,
I'll let you out of the rest of your lease. You're yes. taking a gamble. But I do feel in the end, 20 years from now, how are you going to feel? Are you going to always feel like this? Like, oh, I really wish I wouldn't have booked that venue. Are you? I don't know. Is it a terrible place? It can't be a horrible place. It sounds lovely. It's in a forest with a garden ceremony.
It obviously gave her all the feels, you know, at first.
Yeah.
So, I mean, to write the check, I mean, I don't know about you, but I have to have some feels to start stroking a check.
Yeah.
For somebody.
Yeah. But also,
we gotta have something going on, a connection.
But you know, also, Dixie, like these couples, like the venue often is the first place they start, and it's very exciting to write yeah. that check. It's very exciting to cross that off your list. And it might be more exciting to just do that than actually then sit back and go, wait a minute, I don't know that that was the right place. Like,
well, I tell everybody when they get out here at our venue, I'm like, if you get out and your heart's just like, oh my God, like you're, you know what I mean? You're fluttery. That's your sign. Mm-hmm. But then the other sign is, can you afford it? So if right. both of those align, I'm like, I don't care if it's my venue, some other venue, it's the same thing for a dress. When you put your dress on, you know, you don't really need everybody else's opinions about it. And a lot of times I think that's what gets in the way and hinders these couples trying to make these decisions and commit to their decisions.
Yeah.
Too many people talking to you.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. All right. Well, that was good. I'm glad I got that question in there.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for all of these questions, everybody. This was a really, really jam-packed Yawa. We got a lot in. I feel like we answered a lot of questions that are relevant right now. And, you know, a lot of them are very evergreen. And I am really, really thankful that you co-hosted with me today, Dixie. Thank you.
I'm so glad you asked. I loved it.
Yeah, me too. So throw out your website, Instagram, all of it.
Oh my goodness. The easiest thing is just to go to my personal Instagram, which is TheDixieBagley. And my hashtag is #DixieDoesWeddings. And from there, you can pretty much find everything I do, from the farm wedding venue to the bakery that I own to the airplane hangar that we do events at, and the planning and the speaking and the podcast. And also just when I'm gallivanting around to Montana and Mexico, having a good time. So, and you can just connect with me there, and it'll take you to all the other Instagram, Facebook pages from there.
I love it. Yes. Dixie has a lot of fun, let me assure you. All right. Very good. That wraps Yawa for February 2022. Keep sending questions. Thank you again, Dixie. And we'll talk to you next week.
Bye. Bye.
The Big Wedding Planning Podcast is hosted and produced by me, Michelle Martinez. It is edited by Veronica Gruba. Music by Steph Altman of Mofonix. If you like the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, please subscribe. We are available on pretty much all podcast player apps. Help us get the word out by rating and reviewing us on Apple Podcasts. You can get more wedding planning tips from the Big Wedding Planning Podcast YouTube channel. Follow us on Instagram at The Big Wedding Planning Podcast, and be sure to use the hashtag #PlanThatWedding when posting. Become part of our Facebook group. Join me and our amazing members. Just search The Big Wedding Planning Podcast community on Facebook. Have a wedding planning question or just want to get in touch? You can email me at thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com or, my personal favorite, call and leave a voicemail at 415-723-1625, and you might hear your voice on a future episode. That is it. Happy planning, everybody. Love you. Love the show. Bye.